Good evening, everyone. It's April 26, 2020, and having our evening service here at Faith Baptist Church. Once again, we're still having a limited number of people at the church building because of the governor's restrictions. We're praying that they get lifted really soon so we can start church, having church like we are used to having it, missing seeing everyone, missing the hearing the choir sing and the different other people serve, and just thankful for the opportunities we have to be able to do it through live streaming and through pre-recorded messages. So let's go ahead and begin our service with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you once again today, thanking you first and foremost for how good you are to us. Lord, thank you for the things we learned this morning. Help us to take time to be in your presence, beholding your beauty and inquiring to you. Lord, help us to always see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Lord, I pray once again you work in our hearts. What a wonderful challenge tonight that you've laid upon my heart. Lord, we have a choice whether or not we want to do what's right or not. Lord, help us always remember that we're not servants to sin. And Lord, we pray that you work in our hearts and lives through the preaching and teaching of your word. And Lord, we pray that you challenge us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've asked my wife if she'll sing some special music. It goes along with this morning's message. So if you didn't get to hear this morning's message, I think it'd be great to go back and listen to it. But it's something, the song that ties right into it, and I thought it'd be a blessing to you. Thank you again for being here tonight. If you want to get your Bibles open up, we're going to be in Romans chapter number 6. Do have a couple of quick announcements I'd like to mention before we jump into our preaching time. Romans chapter number 6 tonight. Couple things. I mentioned this morning we're going to have another day of prayer and fasting. That is on May 4th. And specifically, this is for our families. God's really burdened our hearts about our families here, not only in our church, but also across country, our Christian families, and the need for strong Christian families. And what we're going to do is, if you'd like to have some member of your family be put on a prayer list, whether it's praying for somebody's spiritual needs, for salvation, or if they're away from the Lord, or some type of physical need, write out a list, send it to me. We need those lists for the Friday before. I think it's somewhere around May 1st. If you'll have the list sent to me, or you can mail it in, you can email it in, you can text me with it. And we're having the prayer slots, but this time the prayer slots are going to be 30 minutes each. I've already had, from this morning's service, I already have about six or seven of the slots taken, and thank you for those who responded already. But there's a lot of needs in our families. I know many of your needs. You express those to me. Someone needs to be saved. Someone's not living for the Lord. Someone's sick. Just some really great needs. Now, specifically, we're looking for people that have specific needs. We're also going to have on the prayer list the list of our young people in our church, our college age, and our teenagers, and our children. And so that way we can be praying for these young people and praying for their families and things like that. But I want to know if you have something. Like I said, I know a number of people say, hey, pray for my brother, pray for my sister. They need to know the Lord, or they're not serving God, they're not in church. So if you have a list, and once again, that list could become very, very long because there's a lot of people, but that's what the 30 minutes is going to be for, is having our church family pray over that list and also pray for a list of specific things from the scriptures concerning families. Now you say, Pastor, there are some things I don't mind you knowing, but don't want everybody else in the world knowing. That's fine. We can make two separate lists, and I'll be praying for the special needs inside your family, and we'll make a list for people that feel comfortable. It's not going on Facebook. We're not going to make a video that's going to be posted to Facebook or YouTube talking about the different people that are on that list. So it'll be a private list for our church family. So let me encourage you to, if you have some special needs in your church, which inside your family, I would encourage you to be a part of that and write those out so we could be praying. And that is Monday, May 4th, and that is about 8 days away. So that gives us enough time to fill the slots in. Please don't wait till next Sunday to fill the slots in, and please don't wait till past this coming Friday to send the information in, because we want to get it all together, and we'll give a prayer list to everybody who signs up or anyone who requests it that's part of our church family. Also, spring revival is coming up, May 10th through the 13th. Brother Brian McBride will be preaching. His family each night will be doing some special music for us, and we're going to work out the details there, whether it's here at the location here or whether it's over the internet like we're doing right now. Everything will work out however God plans it, and we're excited about that, so be praying for that. Thank you for everyone who had involved with last Monday's Monday prayer and fasting for our church. We're still going through the week of prayer and fasting. Today's the last day of that, and thank you for your prayers. Okay, I want to encourage you this evening with a pretty simple message in my mind, something that we're just going to kind of walk through a passage of Scripture, but it's a great challenge. I remember the first time that I was taught this challenge about, hey, you don't have to sin. The first thing that came into my mind was, that's crazy. Everybody's got to sin. And I thought, as we walk through the Scriptures, though, you know what the Bible tells us? It's that we have a choice. We mentioned earlier, as you heard my wife sing just a few minutes ago, the message this morning was about believing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You can choose to see and keep your eyes focused on Him, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, or you can choose to see the circumstances that are around you. And as you choose to see the goodness of the Lord, it's something that will give you confidence, it will something that will give you direction, and something that will give you strength. Now, the choice that we're talking about this afternoon is whether I'm going to choose to sin or not. I know your body and your flesh sometimes cries out for a certain thing so much that you feel like you have no other choice but the choice to cave in and to give in and to sin. But that's contrary to what the Bible teaches. You know what? The Bible gives us some wonderful promises when it comes to having victory in our Christian life. Think about some of these verses. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Now look at this next phrase, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm thankful for that. This past week was one of the days I spent during my prayer time. I spent praising the Lord with this thought. God, I'm thankful that, you know, that you're greater than anything in this world. I'm thankful that you've overcome the world. Think about what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, praise the Lord, we can overcome the world because he overcame the world. Think about what it says in John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You know, Jesus is teaching us something here. He's overcome the world. And he says, there's a verse there that says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He gives us the opportunity to also be able to become overcomers. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I'll be honest with you, the strength doesn't come from inside of us. It doesn't come in our physical strength. I'll be honest with you, I know there's times in my life that even to this day that I feel like sin is something I have to do, something that has control over me. But thankfully, when you get to the Word of God, you know what it teaches us? We're freed from sin. You make a choice whether or not you want to lie. You make a choice whether or not you want to sin. You make a choice if you look at something you're not supposed to look at. Now, once again, something might flash up there is whether you continually look. You make a choice whether or not you're going to consider to have that dirty thought. And once again, a temptation is not a sin, but it's when you focus on that temptation for a period of time, that's when the sin happens. And I remember the first time someone walked through this passage of Scripture with me, and guess a little light bulb came on. You know what? I don't have to sin. That's exciting. You know, the world might tell you you have to sin. Your friends might tell you, hey, you don't have any choice. Might as well give in. You might as well do whatever you want. You're going to guess ask God for forgiveness anyway. But that's not the Bible teaching. That's not what the Scripture says. And here in Romans chapter number 6, this is a wonderful chapter of the Bible. I remember years ago we went through some of this in Sunday school class, made a challenge for people to try to learn the chapter, to memorize the whole entire chapter, and someone in their 80s did it, and I was thankful for that. And it's a blessing. And if you ever come to a spot where you're dealing with a temptation and you really want to sin, this is a great chapter to read, a great chapter to just try to kind of walk through, and helps us to see how we can have victory. So I think we're going to read through a portion of the chapter, and then we're going to look at three different things that we find in this chapter to help us understand you have a choice. You do not have to sin if you're a Christian. Look what the Bible says. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? This is the Scripture, and this is the thought behind some people's lives. Some people that do not live a victorious Christian life, but instead live a weak, anemic Christian life that has this idea, it doesn't matter what I do, God doesn't care, I can continue on sinning because I know that someday I get to go to heaven, that someday I can just ask for forgiveness and everything will be just right and fine. God doesn't care about the things I do. Now look at the next two words. It says, God forbid. He's saying, that is wrong. And not even just saying, hey, it's wrong, you need to work on it. He says, God forbid. I can imagine, you know, the emphasis that's put there. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to say as a Christian, I can sin. It's not a big deal. I can just ask for forgiveness. I can just let grace continue to abound in my life and let God. No, God forbid you have that thought. God forbid that you have that thinking. God forbid that you would use the grace of God in that way. And it continues on, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And it's the idea here that God has given you the opportunity to be dead to that sin. God has given you the opportunity to be freed from that sin. He's paid a great price. You have received Christ as your personal Savior. You've been buried with him. You rose again. How can we be interested in going back and doing the same things he saved us from? That sin that damned our souls to hell. That put our souls right where that's where we're at. And we want to go back to it? I mean, think about it. Think about it. That's what that sin is. That sin that separates us from God's. We see here that it says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How can we that are dead to that sin? Why would we want to do that? What would be the desire there? And he continues on. Know ye not. Now here's the thought here. Don't we know this? this is something we should know. This is something that we should say and be a part of. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. You know, we were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. You know, don't you know this? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So what the scripture is saying here, that what happened to Christ is what happened to us, and therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That there is a new life that we should be walking in. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So what the scripture is saying here is that we've been planted together in the likeness of his death. We should also in the likeness of his resurrection. But the scriptures is not talking about how to live in heaven someday. What it's talking about here in this world, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him and that the body of sin might be destroyed. Now look at the next phrase, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Here's the point, is we should not go back to it. And the Bible says in verse number 1, you know, shouldn't we just continue in sin that grace may abound? And God forbid, we should not serve sin. You say, Pastor, just because I sin doesn't mean I'm serving it. Now, you're missing what the scripture says. You know what it says in the book of, I think it's in the book of John. It says that he that sinneth is a servant to sin. We'll get to that in a minute. I know I have it here in my notes. And look what it says in verse number 4:7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And here's your thought, is that you are free from sinning. Doesn't mean that you're never going to sin again, but it means you have that option. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. You look at that. Death hath no more dominion over him. And death does not have dominion over us anymore. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. And here's the key in verse number 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That we're going to look at that word reckon here in a little while. It's the idea of putting on, laying out things as an accounting term, showing us what truth is and what the other side is and coming to a conclusion. Verse number 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now what the scripture is saying here, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, you know, that ye should obey it on the lust thereof. It's saying, hey, don't let sin continue. Don't let it have place. Don't give it priority in your life. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, so what the Bible is saying here is you have a choice. You can yield yourself to sin, or you can yield yourself to righteousness. And what? It's the truth. What am I going to do with my life? I see it. I see what the scripture is saying. Now it says I have a choice. And that's the title of tonight's message, is you have a choice. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And then get this question again. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. It's the same question. Should we continue to sin just because? God forbid. That's not the way we should look at it. And then verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God to help us today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us today as we listen to this and as we consider this. I pray you clear my mind of any type of distractions, and Lord, that you give me a heart for your word here to be able to proclaim the truths that you've laid upon my heart. Lord, we can have victory. Help us not to live a life that looks like we're defeated. Help us not to feel like we have to let sin reign in our bodies. Help us to claim the victory that's here. Help us to understand the deceitfulness of sin. but also help us to see the truth that's mentioned. God, help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So three things I want you to think about. The first thing is the truth presented. The truth presented. Look what it says in verses 6 through 8. It gives a description here of where we are at as a believer. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Consider our placement in Christ. We need to understand that we who died with Jesus Christ on Calvary also arose with him in the tomb. When he died, we died. When he arose, we arose. We are in him. What affected him affected us. And if we stand to reason that as a believer is identified with Jesus in his death, we are also identified with him in his resurrection. When he died, we died. And we got to remember that it's something that's for now and the time that we live in today. It gives us the victory that we can have, that we do not have to sin, because the scripture says here that we have been freed from sin. Consider the pattern that we find in Christ. Just as Jesus enjoys permanent victory over the grave, the believer enjoys victory over sin. We have been given the privilege of living a victorious life by the power of the resurrection. Look what it says in verses 9 through 10. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So we see here in the scriptures, there's a truth that's presented. We have been placed in Christ, and because we've been placed in Christ, we have the same pattern that Christ has. No longer, as you see in verse number 7, that is that we are dead, as those that are dead is freed from sin. And if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That means that we have ability to walk in newness of life. So pretty much what the scripture's saying there's a truth. If you're in Christ, you have the opportunity not to have to be a servant of sin. The second thing I want you to think about is not only the truth presented, the reckoning that is given. The reckoning is given. Look at what it says in verse number 11. The reckoning that's given. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So you see in verse number 11, he speaks of reckoning. If it is true that I died with Christ, then I must account myself to be dead to sin. Now, this is where the problem comes. I don't think any of us have a problem saying, okay, I see the picture of baptism, what it means that we were buried and that we rose again, and that we have power through Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. But here comes the point, is that when he says we should reckon ourselves dead, what the scripture is saying, hey, your spiritual man does not have to sin, but your physical man really wants to. And what it is, it's an accounting term that means you add up all the facts and come to a proper summation. You come to a proper conclusion. Over here on this side, you got your flesh telling you, hey, you really want this. Hey, you really have to have this. Hey, you're not going to be happy without this. And you have all these reasons why you should sin. But on this side, you have what the scripture says. You have what the Bible says. You have the truths that are found in the Bible, which are, hey, the Bible says that I am freed from that sin. I am no longer a servant to that sin. I do not have to sin. I do not have to do what's wrong. So when you come and you look at this list and over here, and once again, your flesh is, it's real. It's going to try to pull you away. There are certain things that people struggle with. They're addicted to, and they feel like they have no other choice. But if you're a child of God, what the scripture is saying is that we can reckon ourselves dead. By faith, we can put our trust and say, I believe what the scripture says. And it says that I can be indeed dead indeed to sin and alive unto God through Christ our Lord. I do not have to let sin win. And it says in verse number 12, I do not have to let sin therefore reign in my mortal body. I do not have to give it a place of preeminence. I do not have to say I have to let it own. What does the word reign talk about? It's talking about a person that is a king. He is reigning over a certain area. He's someone who is in control of something. What the scriptures are saying is sin does not have to control you. Now, before a person was a believer, before a person was Christian, you go to Ephesians chapter number 2, you look at verses 1 through 3, it talks about all those different things. You were a servant of that sin. You served your father, the devil. And he, you know, there is, you didn't have a choice back then. Well, what the scripture is saying here is that if he arose, then by the same reasoning, I'm alive to God. The old man is dead, the new man is alive. While I am dead to the works of the sin, and I'm dead to the works of the flesh, I'm dead to the works of the devil, the spiritual side does not have to have anything to do with that. I'm alive to the things of God. I'm alive to his word, his work, his worship, his will, and his ways. The whole idea is that we who are in Jesus are to follow after the things that speak of our position in Christ. Christ is not the old nature, and the motivation we have to live is in this new nature. And we should feel, we come to this moment in time and say, do I have to sin? The choice is yours. Let's keep on going. The third thing I want you to think about is not just the truth that's spoken, the reckoning that's given, but the yielding and serving involved. This is the part I want to spend the most time on. Look what it says in verse 13. It says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. So what the scripture says here, this is what you're not supposed to do, but yield yourselves unto God. There's a choice. Now, we think about yielding when we're talking about driving, and sometimes when you're there and you have that yield sign, what you do have to do is you have to give way to the vehicle that's coming. So if I have a yield sign there and I'm driving, if there's one going straight and I'm getting ready to enter the road, I have to yield to that person that's going straight. I have to look to see whether or not there's somebody else coming, because I must give them priority. I must give them way. This word yield here in the Bible is talking about to stand with, to show priority to give them way. And what the scripture is saying here, you have a choice. You can either yield toward unrighteousness or you can yield unto God. But it's a choice. Honestly, when you're there and you're driving your car and you see a yield sign, you can ignore it. It's not very wise. You might get away with it a couple of times, but after a while, there's going to be a car coming the other way. And if you choose not to yield, you know what's going to happen? Sooner or later, you're going to get hit. And what the scripture is saying here, take your choice. You have a body, and then your body is the Holy Spirit of God, and the spiritual side is giving you the opportunity not to sin. And as he's giving you this opportunity not to sin, he's giving you this ability to take your body and yield it to either righteousness or yield it to unrighteousness. And let's keep on going. As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace. What then shall sin? Shall we sin? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. So he's saying, don't look at it that way. Don't look at it just because, don't make up any excuses for your sin. Sinning is wrong, and we should not be doing. God forbid if you look at it that way. Verse 16, it says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom you obey. Now here's where it gets a little bit sticky. Here's where it gets to the point where we don't like what it's saying. Okay, I get it, Pastor. If I yield to righteousness, I do what's right, I'm doing good. If I yield to unrighteousness and I do wrong, I'm doing bad. Okay, I'm bad, that's good. But what the scripture says here in verse number 16, it actually says that you become a servant. Look at that, his servants to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. What the scripture is teaching us here is whoever you're yielding yourself to, at that moment in time, you become a servant to. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a servant to the devil. I don't know about you, I don't want to be a servant to sin. I know we don't like it to look at it that way. We don't like to think, hey, you're serving the devil, you're serving sin. None of us likes to see it that way, but that's what the scripture is saying here. You have a choice in your life, and your choice is either I'm going to yield to righteousness or I'm going to yield to unrighteousness. I'm either going to yield to do what is right or I'm going to yield to do what is wrong. And if whatever way I choose, that's what I become a servant of. That's what I become a slave of. I either become a servant unto righteousness or I become a servant unto unrighteousness. We like to justify our sins. We like what it says in verse number 1 and verse number, I believe it's 15, that says, you know, grace is going to abound. Hey, we're not under the law anymore. I know I had talking to somebody just a few days ago. Hey, we're not under the law. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do that. And the Bible says that doesn't give you a license or excuse to sin. That doesn't give you a right just because you have the grace of God in your life to say, hey, let's go party because we're going to go to heaven anyway. And I've heard people say to that, why aren't you going to church? Well, I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. Why? It doesn't matter if I go to church or not. And they're missing what the scripture is teaching here. God has given you this opportunity to not be a servant to sin anymore. It says in verse number 3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. And it says in verse number 2, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein. Why would, like, God has saved you from, why would he want to keep on going back? Why would we want to keep on being a part of it? He says, stop taking your body, stop taking your members, stop taking your life and yielding it to unrighteousness. The plea is that we would yield it to righteousness. We yield it to God because we want to be servants of the Lord. He said, I make my own choice. I'm not a servant of anything or anyone. What the scripture says here is, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, in verse 17, that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that former doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Consider this. We used to be servants of sin, but because we obeyed the form of the doctrine, because we understand salvation, because we become saved, no longer do we have to live that way. No longer do we have to act that way. No longer do we have to serve sin and the devil. Now we can serve God and serve righteousness. Look what the scripture says in verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield ye your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. I don't know about you, but there are some things in my life I wish I had never done. And what I think the scripture is saying here, there are sometimes, go back and remember what life used to be like before you became a Christian. Or even go back and remember the times when you did things that were wrong and the sin that was there and what it accomplished. And look at the fruit of that. You don't have to be a part of that anymore. Remember that when you're making your choice. Remember that when you have that decision laying in front of you. Should I watch? Should I listen? Should I be? Should I do these things? Should I not do these things? Should I dwell on those thoughts? Should I be unwise? Should I be unfaithful? And as you're sitting there, say, look at the fruits of what sin happened and what caused in your life and the tragedy and the heartache and the problems that sin brought. And now as you're considering the life you have now, now you have a choice. Now you have the ability. Am I going to choose to yield to righteousness and become a servant of God? Or am I going to take my members and choose to yield to unrighteousness and choose to, once again, become a servant of sin? You read this and you see this. He says, you were free from righteousness, meaning that you could not do. But what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? I can say there's things in my life that I've done that I'm ashamed of, which I never would have done then. But what the scripture is saying now is, you have a choice. Am I going to yield my body to sin, or am I going to yield to righteousness? We have a choice. And I remember and even today, the struggles that some of us deal with, the pulling of the sin, the pulling to do what's wrong. I shouldn't have to forgive. I shouldn't have to respect. I shouldn't have to honor. I shouldn't have to obey. It's so real. There is a fight that goes on in between us. But we make the decision. We choose whether or not we're going to yield our body one way or another. Let me encourage you today. The choice is yours. Consider the truth that's presented. Look at the reckoning that's given. Now the yielding and the serving that is necessary. Verse 15, what then shall we sin? Verse number 1, shall we say then, shall we continue in sin? And the answer is no. He saved us so we're no longer a servant of sin. He saved us so we can be freed from that sin. He saved us and took us away from that sin. To live, why would we want to live any longer in that sin? Why? So let's choose. Let's use our body, our members, our fingers, our hands, our mouth, our mind as instruments of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Remember the scriptures as victory passages. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Pastor, it doesn't feel like that. Then reckon yourself dead. Write down what the promises of the word of God says, and then on this side, write down the promise, the feeling of the flesh. Then as you look at the two, one is truth. One will last for eternity. One has power behind it that no one can explain because God can help you. And as you look at the two truths, I think you'll reckon yourself dead and say, you know what? I do not have to give in to this sin. Then yield your body. It's not always easy. The flesh is always definitely real, and I'm not going to tell you it's something that is easy to accomplish. But I am going to tell you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm going to tell you, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh our world, even our faith. And that's the faith to believe what the scripture says and reckon ourselves dead, even though everything inside you is screaming and pulling and saying, I have to do this. The scripture says you can have the faith to believe that you no longer are servant to that sin. John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace in the world. You have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I tell you, one of the most miserable people I have ever met in my life is someone who's a Christian who's struggling with sin. They're unhappy. There's no peace there. Why is that? Because of the fact he offers us peace because he's overcome the world. And he's given us the opportunity to overcome the world and overcome the sin and overcome doing that sin as we yield ourselves. But the most tribulation and turmoil times in my life, maybe it's different for you, but the most tribulation and turmoil times in my life is when I give in to sin. The world can go crazy. I know God's going to take care of me. I know God's got it all control. I get to go to heaven someday. But the time that I had the most lack of peace in my life is when I'm choosing to do what I want instead of what he wants. I hope it made sense to you. I hope it helped you like the first time I heard it, it helped me. It was a simple message. The Bible says there's truth that's involved. You do not have to sin. Secondly, there's a reckoning that must be done. By faith, look at it. Look what the scripture says. Look, and you do not have to give in. But the third point is, are you going to yield yourself? Are you going to serve? Who are you serving today? Let God have the victory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, even though I feel like there's so much more that could be said in that passage, Lord, we're going to ask your Holy Spirit of God to just continue to work in people's hearts. I praise you for the fact that as greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I praise you when you say that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I praise you when you say that we can, with your strength and your power, can overcome the things of this world. I am so thankful that no longer do I have to be a servant of that sin. I have a choice. And God, I pray with my own life that I would yield and be completely yielded to you, because in no way or shape or form do I want to be a servant of sin. No way or shape or form do I want to go back and be a part of the things that separated me from you in the first place. God, help us. Work in our lives. Give us wisdom, Lord. Remind us of this truth. Help us never think, I can just continue in sin and let grace abound. Help us remember these words, God forbid. Help us not to buy into the lie of the devil just because it's not under the law anymore. We can live whatever way we want. I know the law was made for Israel and there are certain things that do not apply to us today. But Lord, help us not make excuses for our sin. Help us to take an honest, hard look at ourselves and say, God forbid that I would let sin reign in my body, because Christ has paid the price. So I can be dead to that sin. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, thank you for listening. I'm going to pray for us this week. Going to have hopefully another recording of FBC Kids. And we had a program last week, and it mentioned during announcement time. But if you want to look at the YouTube page, it's a program for the kids. I think the adults probably would like it too if you watched it, or teens. We're going to do another one this week. Also be praying for us as we're getting ready for our spring revival and our day of prayer and fasting coming up on May 4th. Have a wonderful day, and I'm praying for you.